This is the podcast you wouldn't want to miss. Get your all-important dose of what's hot and what's not, according to Dino. Who knows? Just listen, okay? Because this podcast will make you think or not, entertain you, and sometimes piss you off. In any case, it'll be interesting. This is not bullshit. This is the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast.
Welcome to Morning Kickoff. My name's Dean Williams, and with me today, I've got Ollie Maguire and I've got Sorin. Sorin is Romanian. This is going to be a funny episode. Already, he's come out with some shit like this.
I'll just try to play it by hand. I'll see how it goes.
Play it by hand?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that even mean? I'm going to play it by hand.
You're not...
What does play it by hand mean? Right, guys. Welcome to Morning Kickoff. Let's start with Ollie. You got any shout outs?
I'll give a shout out to my best man. Got him into the podcast, got him to start listening to it. He's my best mate. His name's Chris.
What is that? You just got one mate. What do you mean, Chris?
What do you mean, what do you mean, Chris?
Who's Chris?
Chris, my mate.
He's mate. He's giving a shout out.
He's my best mate.
Yeah, he's my best mate. And sent him the podcast. He loves it. So yeah, give him a shout out.
Shout out to Chris. How you doing, Chris? Well, is that it? You just got one mate?
Well, yeah, probably. And I don't really like anyone else, so I just don't really want to give a shout out. I'm going to give a shout out to my dad and his football team, because I sent him the podcast as well, and he's going to listen to this one because I'm on it.
Of course. The Solomon tribe.
Yeah, got me.
We got one for you, right. Sorin.
Shout out to Squid. I love playing with him every Friday.
You can't say you like playing with him without the context of the football.
I love fiddling with him every Friday.
You can't say that either.
So, shout out to him, and shout out to Paul as well. We've really missed him in the past few weeks.
Paul
Sterling.
Is anyone else? Ruxandra, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to my partner, Ruxandra. I don't know if she'll be listening to this. She doesn't really do podcasts, but I'll make sure to send her the link for this one. So.
Perfect way to start understanding English not. My shout outs are Billy Sevier. Shout out to Bill. Known him a while. Always checking out the show on LinkedIn. Rod Loughran and Foley Boxing Club. Ronnie Fox. He was the one in Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. He had the Bream gun. He's now residing in Spain. Checking us out. Jess Sterling, Paul Sterling's wife. Shout out. Desire Pepper. Don't know who she is. Happy birthday to Alexandra. Julian Klinger, aka my dad on social media. John McDonald, aka my dad in general. And Steve Wilson in Jessopolina in Italy, who I'd never met before, and we bumped into each other. He recognised me as I was going to the wine festival.
That's how it goes when you're that famous.
It is, unfortunately. I am that famous. Talking about being famous, we have 2 5-star reviews on Apple as well. Thank you very much. Also, we got paid on TikTok Live last week. We were on a TikTok Live. Yeah, me, Joel and Gazza.
Yeah,
there you are.
On last week's one. Yep. We was on TikTok. I was doing TikTok Live and we got paid. So someone paid us.
What did they pay for?
They paid us $2.
For what?
What are you guys doing during the podcast?
No, it's a thing where they have diamonds. So they pay for these diamonds. And then if they like your show or your live or whatever you're doing, they can contribute to you being a live performer.
I don't know.
What do you do with the money?
Whatever you want. $2, isn't it? Sucky, sucky. Mm-hmm. $5, $10. Okay, sucky, sucky, licky, licky.
So we should be expecting some kind of monetary... Me and...
Money for my baby.
Or just get paid.
Yeah. Oh, listen. Those that coming on the podcast... monetizing my podcast, stick with your rubber dinghies, your cocaine and your prostitutes. Don't start taking it out of my podcast show.
Of course, when you invite a person as influential as I am, as you know, I'm known in all of Albania. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I've got a big brand in the moonshine, trademarked.
Yeah, but
of course, listen, I'm going to expect some sort of...
There's a slight payoff. Issue with your moonshine. People have partial paralysis. I don't think that is a good advertisement for your moonshine. Dom is still suffering after effects now. Paul Sterling is just a lunatic and loved it and was doing shot after shot after shot. Me, great for cleaning the toilet. Get skid marks off and everything. It's better than that spray stuff that you used to get in the...
Seal it bang.
It's better than that.
Yeah. I just think that it's just a product that is multi-purposeful. You can use it for different things. And Dom did read the small print at the bottom, so it's on him, and I do not take any responsibility for his messed up
on,
eye.
Yeah, on ongoing issues.
What the social media shit? Find us on Twitter and TikTok at The Tearaway Podcast or on Facebook group page The Tearaway.
England played last week, playing Scotland. Harry Maguire started. I think we kind of predicted that he would be in there. He's being phased out. And England won 3-1. Was it 3-1? Yeah, it's 3-1.
3-1. Yeah, Maguire's own goal.
He scored an own goal. Harry Maguire doesn't even play for Man United. No longer captain of Man United. Yet Gareth Southgate still insists on having him in defence.
He just picks players who he likes, I think he's got.
But he's always said preference. That he trusts certain players, even though they're not playing. And he said at the beginning of when he started his tenure as England manager, only those who are playing for their club will play for England.
I just think that he's probably a bit biased because Maguire is still at United, surprisingly, by the way. I just think that because of that...
A lunatic how he turned down a move to West Ham. Lunatic.
Yeah, I reckon because he's getting bullied by the public that he keeps picking him, putting him in there to try and prove a point, I think.
Yeah, but do you not think that's wrong? That you've got a player who's so bad.
Extremely bad.
That he is not being protected. Like when David Beckham got all the hate for the World Cup when he lashed out at Diego Simeone, he was kept out because he was red carded. He was kept out of the England team, kept out of the Man United team to protect him. Whereas Harry Maguire don't play for Man United, but he keeps being put in the England team where it's highlighted, where it's under a microscope.
I think Southgate is all about inclusivity, isn't he? So he wants everyone to be included into the group if he excludes in Maguire now with all the stuff that's in the press about him, then he goes back on what he's stuck by since he took over as England manager. So I reckon that's one of the reasons why he keeps putting him back in there, even if he isn't.
Yeah, but when's enough? Like, he scored an own goal.
Well, I mean, if it was my choice, I'd kick him out of the whole squad, but I don't agree with it, but I'm just going by what I see, and I think that's why Southgate comes out and protects him and goes against what's said on social media about him, because he thinks that it's not right and he won't pull him out of the team because otherwise he's technically agreeing to what everyone and all the pundits and everyone's saying. So that's my view anyway.
I just think that by playing him, you are sort of like participating in that hate because you do take the risk that he will end up playing bad and then getting even more hate, being abused even more on social media and whatnot. And I also think that the whole team is suffering because of that. A spot that another brilliant player could take is now being sacrificed just to prove a point on Maguire, which is
that is the way that most England fans see this, is that there's young lads that could come through in that are being denied that chance.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you too. I just reckon I'm trying to think like Gareth Southgate because there's no other explanation for it. He's not in form. He should not be starting. He doesn't start for his club. He shouldn't be starting for the country. I try and think, what is Southgate's reason for putting Maguire back in, starting for England every single time? And the only thing I can think of is because he doesn't want to break up that thing he's stuck by of including everyone into the squad, no matter whether you start or sit on the bench, and he won't take him out because of that.
I would have him and Harry Kane out. That's two I would take out.
You take Kane out?
Why would you take Kane out?
Because he's fucking useless.
No.
He's absolutely
he scored.
Fucking...
Yeah.
Right. He scored in a friendly. Did he score against the Ukraine?
No.
Did he score in the big games? We covered this last week, right?
Yeah.
And there's part of this that never, it's part of what we said never came out in the podcast. We've got his goals down to about five that he's scored. Legit goals in big matches. If you take away the penalties, if you take away the five against San Marino and the four against some other shit piss poor club, he's only scored like five or six goals.
The backlash that Gareth Southgate is receiving at the moment, taking Kane out, would just be, he would just be shooting himself in the foot.
Yeah, people are unsure about Southgate at the moment as well anyway, leading coming up to the next competition. So you start taking Kane out.
Potter.
Yeah,
I'd get Potter in. I would have Potter in tomorrow. Get rid of Southgate. Potter in. Kane out. Maguire out. Get the squad going how it should be going with young lads. Tammy Abraham going straight in. By far a better player than Kane.
On what, by far. On what basis are you saying Potter in?
Because Potter's not working at the minute. Is an upgrade on...
What's he done?
Is an upgrade on Southgate?
He's done nothing. He's done less than Southgate. He's generally done less than Southgate. He went over to Chelsea, done nothing. Did a little bit of Brighton, but actually that was nothing really to do with him. That was just to do with the well-run club that Brighton are.
No, it wasn't. It was to do with the 5 years that Potter was there and Potter who promoted all the young kids coming through.
No, Southgate.
That was all Potter.
Southgate's done loads more than Potter and I would not swap.
What's Southgate done?
Well, he's got us to late stages in the competition.
We never won him.
Potter's done nothing.
We lost the final against Italy.
Yeah, I'm not saying Southgate's great, but Potter has done nothing.
Potter is more tactically astute than Southgate is. He's an upgrade on Southgate.
I kind of agree with Dino here, and I believe that...
Just remember his podcast this is as well.
I don't care.
I think he could do good things, and I think, as Dino said, he could probably put in younger lads, as he did with the Brighton team that ended up being so successful.
Potter is more suited to the lads we've got coming through now than what Southgate is. When Kane was in, I can't remember, it was the World Cup or the Euros, if it weren't for Sterling scoring in every game, we wouldn't have got through, because it was him scoring, it weren't Kane. Kane didn't do fuck all. Yeah, he kept playing Kane, kept playing Maguire, kept playing Trippier at left back instead of Chilwell. Tactically stupid formation. Boring England.
I think that although you can make the case even for Kane, I feel like Kane is a way better player in his position than Maguire. So, of course, Maguire would be
Maguire
out immediately.
Is shit.
Yeah, of course he is.
But that's, like saying, is, that's like saying I'd rather have someone who's got just one arm, no legs, and can barely talk rather than a dead person.
I just feel like he's still in form at the moment.
Kane is never
goals.
Been in form for England. Never ever has Kane
isn't
gone.
But
never ever.
Is England's top goal scorer?
Right. Five against fucking San Marino.
Still England's top goal scorer.
Yeah.
You can't take out your top goal scorer who's still playing football and in his prime.
How many are penalties? Because he's captain.
Ronaldo scored many penalties.
This is what I'm saying. He doesn't turn up for the big games.
But who
Kane,
else are you putting in there?
I've just told you, Tammy Abraham. Know. Just off the top of my head, Tammy Abraham, a natural goal scorer.
Callum Wilson, put him in.
There you go.
We've got Ivan Toney, who will come back in.
Obviously, I know he's quite young, but what do you think about Cole Palmer?
I don't know why he went to Chelsea.
I think he's gotten more of a chance at Chelsea compared to City.
I don't know. He was the goal he scored in the Community Shield against Arsenal for City was unbelievable, and that was right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but that's, I think, one of the reasons why he got to play. I don't think he's ever going to be a team player. If you look at City's team, especially, they've got Haaland, they've got Alvarez, they've brought in Doku on the side. I don't think he's got any sort of like opportunity, really.
Yeah, I mean, they brought Doku in because I think they got rid of Cole Palmer. But yeah, look, you know, he might have a chance. I'll tell you who I do want to speak about, though, who was unbelievable for England, was Jude Bellingham.
Oh,
I mean, he's scarily good. He's like the next Zidane, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, 20 years old, captain of Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Leading Madrid, and he's only been there for
And he'll
weeks.
Be captain of England next.
Of course he will. He's a much better captain than that Newton. I mean, fucking Harry Kane. I can't stand.
Want some man talk? Listen on Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast.
Ollie, do you want to go on to your thing?
Yeah, I thought just I'm going to bring the mood down a little bit, actually. And
no, we always do something serious.
It's a good news story. It's a good news story. So I referee now.
Who do you referee?
Well, I'm an FA ref for grassroots football. I'm in a referee group chat and something came through and I thought, oh, actually, yeah, this is kind of cool. But not what happened, that's not cool, but what they did to prevent something terrible happening. So Ringma AFC, which I think is just outside.
Eastbourne.
Yeah, yeah. They put something out on their social media on Sunday night and I was going to read it. It said, "Today we encountered one of the most serious incidents we have experienced at the football club. During the Vets fixture, one of our opposition players collapsed, stopped breathing and did not have a pulse. One of our club defibrillators was used to get the heart going again. The actions of Ed Hall, Matt Lloyd, Kane Black, Danny Mizon and Andreas Datford before the ambulance crew arrived without a doubt saved his life. A credit to all of them who have done the club extremely proud today. We are glad to hear," I won't say his name, just he doesn't want, might not want it, "is in a stable condition and on the road to recovery. By sharing this, we hope that it means that the other clubs consider getting a defibrillator installed if they don't have one already, because we can vouch for it firsthand that it saves lives." I read that and I thought, well, I'd like to try and do something to give back to the football grassroots, and I thought it'd be a fun thing to put on your podcast.
A fun thing?
Yeah, fun thing for you.
Where's the well, a fun thing for me?
Yeah,
a defibrillator.
It's a fun thing. I wanted to say, anyone that's listening that's associated with a football club, if they email you,
they can text the show 0753 71 71 72 2, or they can email me dino@mkoshow.com.
Right, if they say to you what football club they want to put forward, you can pick, and I will, at the end of the year, my business will give that football club a defibrillator.
Turner's kids football team, I think they've got a community football team. It's not just under 11s.
Yeah, it'd be a club probably. Barnum, yeah. I think it's Barnum.
So maybe they would...
Turner, text in.
Appreciate.
I will do it. But it takes... I've looked it up, but it'll take a little while to get here. But I will put in the order and, yeah.
How much is the defib?
About a grand.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's not too sad. Why don't you sponsor him for 600 quid? Yeah, because he's looking for a shirt sponsor.
Is it still?
600 quid, yeah.
I might do it, but Turner needs to beg me.
Who do you referee? Do you do like under 14s, under 15s or?
So the FA will give you games. So you would say, so you go and do the course. It's a 2-day course, basically. They teach you like what to do if someone collapses on the pitch, how to hold the flag, where to point it, different, you know, things like that. Sharp whistle blows for certain things and different things like that. And then once you've passed the course, you will get contacted by something called Central Appointments at the FA, and they will divvy out games in your area, and you can select which leagues that you want to do. So I've selected Sussex Sunday because it's the time I'm most available, but there are hundreds of leagues.
So is that men's leagues, kids leagues, what
Vets
is it?
Leagues, kids leagues, youth leagues, disabled leagues.
How much do you get paid?
Depends. So if you work your way up, so if you do 5 games, you then go from level 1 to level 2, and if you can work your way pretty much up to the top, then you can start getting games at like youth clubs in Premier League. So I think I saw one on the other day, Charlton versus Bournemouth or something like that, and they're paid like 500 quid.
Oh, that's
a game.
Not too bad.
And then Premier League is all expenses paid, travel up there, hotel, the lot. But you got to go all the way to do that, which becomes like a full-time job. I just do it for a bit of pocket money, which is about £36 a game.
Is that what they pay a referee?
Yeah.
£18 each side?
Yeah. It's actually the home team that pays.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so the clubs are given money by the FA, and you don't always get a referee. So Turner's team probably unlikely to get a referee because it's not, they give it to like the men's teams first, the higher divisions, older, all the way down to like under 10s. I actually got one which I said I wasn't going to go and do on Sunday, but it was Brighton Youth at the Brighton Amex training ground versus Bournemouth under 10s, and they were getting a referee and a lino. So it just goes to show that
it does help when you've got linesmen that are impartial and a referee that's impartial, because there's nothing worse than having the home team doing the line, because they'll just give offside every time, especially if the referee is just one of the lads training. Terrible.
Or a girl from your team.
I do it for a bit of extra money, and because being a ref, it feels good. It's powerful.
Power, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a power thing with you.
It's power,
I can see it.
He's get tripping it. Up. Get it. Tripping off of there.
Yeah, you can. It's respect. I like it. Until they start screaming at you about 5 minutes into the game. Like, what's that? Why?
But then how do you deal with that? Like, if you feel you're losing control, how do you deal with that? So, how do you bring it back? Like, a player turns around and goes, ref, you're a cunt. I can't stand your shit decisions.
So there's a weird thing, right, that they showed us on the course, which I thought was actually interesting, was. You can't see it on the podcast, but if you put your hand out and you bring your fingers in like that, I don't know the best way to describe that movement, over feeding the camel, right?
There you go.
If you do that, that's aggressive. If you bring your arm across your body to get someone to come in, it's not. So it's like body language, that's what they say. So when you're watching Premier League football, watch like Mark Lambert, whoever else, you know, Michael Oliver who's on TV, when they want a player to come and speak to them, they will move their arm across their body.
And that prick who retired last year, it was always about him.
Mike Dean, yeah.
I can't stand him because it was all about him.
Yeah. They mentioned him quite a lot on the course, actually, about how...
how
he was a ref and he made it a lot about himself.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time as well, they were saying on Sunday League, I don't know if this is Premier League, but on Sunday League, they tell you to make a decision that's not going to cause a problem. So if you think it might be a penalty, might not, more likely they would say not to give it.
Yeah, because if it's not, if you're not decisive about what it is you're going to give, and there is an element of doubt to it, you've got to let that doubt go and not give that decision.
Yeah,
because you're just going to inflame the situation.
Right, and then they're going to start getting on top of you. And I've been in a game, I've done now 5 games, and one of them started, you could feel it was starting to like bubble up, and the players were going. I always say at the beginning of the match, always go to the managers and the linos, and I get them to come in, and I tell the linos that I want them to hold their positions, not to just put the flag up and then walk off, put it down, because if I'm focused so much on the game, I'm not always looking over at the lino. They teach you to try and run across the pitch to keep the lino in your line of sight constantly, so you can see them. And then also say to the managers at the beginning that they are held to a higher standard, and if they start losing their shit, the boys then start losing their shit, or the girls, whoever's playing, they have to stay calm. And if they're calm, the game will stay calm. 15 minutes into a game, it's not going right, and they start screaming at these 13, 14 year old boys, all hell goes loose.
So the parents are the worst things. I've coached an under 14s team. It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
An absolute fucking nightmare, because the parents think they know best, and when their kid's not being selected because they haven't gotten the training, but they believe their son's the best. Trying to argue with an idiot, and it's painful for me. Well, the idiot doesn't know is an idiot.
You can't do anything about the parents shouting. They would always shout. But it's good fun. I enjoy it. And it's... decent bit of pocket money on the weekend.
Very good.
Make sure to follow us on Facebook.
Follow on Apple Podcasts.
Morning Kickoff Football Podcast.
Hit subscribe and don't miss the next episode. With you every week.
Saturday Morning Kickoff Football Podcast. Your host, Dino.
Right, moving on to the Premier League now. Wolverhampton Wanderers v Liverpool. I had it as 3-0. Joel had it as 3-0. Gazza has it at 3-1. It was 3-1. Aston Villa and Crystal Palace. I had it at 0-0. Joel had it at 4-1. And Gazza had it at 2-0. The next game, Fulham 1-0. So I had it at 2-1. Joel had it at 2-1. Gazza had it at 2-1. 1-0. Fulham. Man United and Brighton. I got this right. 3-1. Joel went with 2-2. Gazza went with 2-1.
Tottenham Hotspur, Sheffield United. Tottenham losing 1-0, and then Spurs scored two goals in the 94th minute. Well, I had that at 5-1 Spurs.
Oh, wow.
Joel had it at 2-0 Spurs, and Gazza had it at 3-0 Spurs. West Ham United and Man City. Man City won 3-1. So I had it at 2-1 Man City. Joel had it at 3-0 Man City. And Gazza had it at 2-1 Man City. Then the last game for the Saturday was Newcastle United against Brentford. And Newcastle won 1-0. I had it at 2-all. Joel had it at 2-1. And Gazza had it at 3-1. Sunday the 17th, Bournemouth and Chelsea 0-0. Bore draw. The game was shit. Raheem Sterling shot. It went out for a fucking throw-in. No.
His free kick was amazing.
The free kick was the only thing, and
yeah, but it just hit the bar, came down, didn't go over the line, it didn't count.
They are terrible, Chelsea.
The Bournemouth-Chelsea game, I had it at 1-0 Bournemouth, Joel 1-1, and Gazza 1-2, Chelsea win. Everton and Arsenal, Everton 0, Arsenal 1. I had that at 4-1 Arsenal. Joel had it at 2-0 Arsenal, and Gazza had it at 2-0 Arsenal. Then Monday, the 18th, Nottingham Forest 1, Burnley 1.
What a goal by Hudson-Odoi.
Hudson-Odoi, yes, yeah. Good said about it. 0-0, I had it at, Joel had it at 2-0 Forest, and Gazza went 2-1 Forest. So that was a Shiite Muslim. This weekend, starting on Saturday the 23rd of September, Crystal Palace and Fulham. That's just like boring football. The bookies have got it down as a Palace win.
I would probably go Palace win as well. Yeah, I just don't think either team have got anything that special about them. I thought Fulham pretty disappointing on the weekend. Got a late goal, lucky win. Joel's team, so yeah, hate them, hope Palace win.
Sorin?
I think Fulham are going to win 2-1.
You reckon Fulham 2-1? I reckon it's going to be a draw myself. What are you going with, Ollie?
I'm going to go 2-0 Palace.
2-0 Palace. Luton Town, Wolverhampton Wanderers, again, just another boring game, boring fucking 0-0, 1-0 draw.
1-0 Wolves. I think Luton are dreadful, and they're probably going to have one of the worst seasons in Premier League history.
I think Sheffield United hold that right now.
I think Luton might be it.
3-1 Wolves.
Man City, Notts Forest. Man City 3-1.
Yeah.
Man City 3-0.
No, I'll go with that. 3-0 City.
4-1.
2.
4-1.
2. Who 2?
City.
I don't know that, do I?
Of course.
Just say 4-1, 4-1.
Wait till we get to Chelsea.
Brentford, Everton, 5:30 kickoff. Brentford all day long.
I'm going to go 2-0 Brentford. Everton can't score and are useless.
They are terrible.
I'm going to have to agree with Ollie. 2-0 for Brentford.
3-0 Brentford, me. Burnley, Man United, 8 o'clock kickoff. Man United are disastrous right now. Not having all that support and that pressure around them. I think you probably would look at Man United winning that against Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. I can see Man United nicking it 1-0. Burnley are a different team to Brighton. Brighton can turn any team over, I think, at the moment. But Burnley have got still a lot to get going with in the Premier League. But I think United are shockingly bad. But I can probably see Rashford or someone like that just nicking it 1-0, probably late in the game.
I'll have it as 3-1 for United.
Cool. Going into September, the 24th on the Sunday, Arsenal and Spurs, 2 o'clock kickoff. You've got Gazza and Oily.
And Squid.
And Squid in this one.
And Paul Sterling.
Paul Sterling and Gazza support Tottenham. There's someone else who supports Tottenham as well, Squid's dad. And then Squid, Oily, Arsenal. This is going to be a test of Ange Postecoglou, the way that he plays now. Bearing in mind they were 1-0 down against Sheffield United. Has the bubble burst? Arsenal suffer in the second half. Probably go 2-0 up to go 2-all in the second half. Maybe nick it with a goal. 2 o'clock kickoff as well. It's not one you'd have on your acca. Just ruin your day. 3-2 Arsenal on that one. for me.
I've got to go with the boys. 2-1 Arsenal. They're cleverer than Tottenham. I think Arteta's got stuff up his sleeve. I think Ange is still trying to settle in at Tottenham, and he's done all right up to this point, but I think Arsenal are pushing on now, and we're chasing City, not looking behind us at Tottenham. 2-1.
I think it's going to be 4-2 for Arsenal.
Next game, Brighton and Hove Albion, Bournemouth. This could go one of two ways. Either Brighton get done 3-0, 3-1 by Bournemouth, or they go out 3-1 winners against Bournemouth. Bookies have got it at 1-3 Brighton, which you would, 13-2, 6.5-1. Bournemouth, 9-2, the draw. Brighton and Hove Albion, 3-1.
I'm going 4-0 Brighton. I think they're going to turn Bournemouth over. I think they're going to do a Brighton and just smash in a load of goals. Pascal Gross is a weird, but an absolute animal. So, yeah, 4-0 Brighton.
1-0 Brighton for me.
Next game, Chelsea-Aston Villa. I fancy Aston Villa to do this. I think it's going to be a 3-0 win Aston Villa.
I'm going to go 2-0 Villa.
I'm also going to go 2-0 Villa. Don't think Chelsea have it in them to score a single goal.
No, I think they're just terrible.
The new Everton.
I won't go as far as that. Well, Liverpool, yes. And West Ham United. Liverpool for me, 2-5. To win this, West Ham 6-1. That's a massive price. Jared Bowen could nick a goal, could change it. Liverpool at home, 4-1 the draw. You'd like to think Liverpool are going to win this, but I'm going to go with a 6-1 price. West Ham United 1-0.
For Liverpool back. I think they will spank West Ham and put them back in their place. So I'm going 3-0 Liverpool.
I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool.
West Ham, away from home, no pressure. Big price, 6-1. Definitely in my acca this week. Yeah, West Ham 1-0. Sheffield United and Newcastle. 2-5 away win. Newcastle 15-4 the draw. Home 6-1 Sheffield United. I can't see Sheffield United getting any goals on this one.
No chance.
I think the way that Newcastle has set up, I reckon this is going to be a 1-0 2-0 win, Newcastle United.
Yeah, I was just looking at the table then. I haven't seen much of Newcastle this season, and I think I know why, because they're not really that interesting, are they? They're like mid-table. They haven't really come out of the gates like last season when they look really good. So I'm going to go 1-1.
I'm just looking at the score, and they've managed to end with a draw against Milan, so I think Newcastle have it in them, and I feel like it's going to be a 3-0 for them.
Good. Going into the Premier League, Man City top, all wins. Tottenham Hotspur, a draw and 4 wins of the last 6. Liverpool, draw, 4 wins. Arsenal, 4 wins and a draw. Brighton and Hove sitting in 5th, a loss and 4 wins in the last 6. At the bottom, Everton, loss, draw, loss. Burnley, 3 losses and a draw. Luton Town, straight 4 losses. That concludes the Premier League.
You are listening to the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast.
Right, going into the Sky Bet Championship League, the top 6, Preston North End, 16 points, Leicester City, 15 points, Ipswich Town, 15 points, Norwich City, 13 points, Hull City in 5th, 11 points, and Birmingham City, 6th, 11 points. Now, as we're doing this podcast, they are all playing, so don't shoot the messenger. The bottom end of the league, QPR Rangers, 20th, 21st, Rotherham United, Swansea City, 22nd, 23rd, Sheff Wednesday, 24th, Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough have 1 point, and I think the point was raised that all their goal scorers were sold last year. Out of the last 6 games, they've lost 5, drawn 1, with a solitary point. Sheff Wednesday, solitary point. Swansea City, 2 points. Rotherham United, 4 points. Queen's Park Rangers, 6 points. Terrible. So, playing tonight, currently Tuesday the 19th of September. Bristol City 3, Plymouth Argyle 1. These are current scores. Cardiff City 2, Coventry City 1, Preston North End 1, Birmingham City 1, Queen's Park Rangers 0, Swansea City 1, Southampton 0, Ipswich Town 1. And then Sheff Wednesday against Middlesbrough at the bottom of the table. Sheff Wednesday currently 1-0 up. Saturday, Ipswich Town and Blackburn, Leeds United, Watford, Leicester City, Bristol City, Middlesbrough, Southampton, Plymouth Argyle, Norwich City, Rotherham United, Preston North End, Swansea City, Sheff Wednesday, West Brom, Millwall. Then Sunday, Stoke City, All City, Sunderland and Cardiff. Right, League One top. Exeter City with 16 points, tying with Port Vale. Played a game more, 16 points. Oxford United, 15 points. Stevenage, 15 points. Barnsley, 13 points. Portsmouth, 13 points. At the bottom, we've got 19th Northampton, 20th Wigan. So Wigan were deducted 8 points due to a breach of EFL regulations, and Reading deducted 4 points due to regulation breaches. Burton Albion, bottom, my tip to go down. Cheltenham Town, bottom, 23rd with 1 point. Fleetwood Town, 24th with one solitary point. Fleetwood having lost all their last 6 games.
League Two, Grimsby.
League Two, got Gillingham at the top, 18 points. Notts County, 17 points in second. Swindon Town, third, 15 points. Wrexham, who beat Grimsby on Saturday, fourth with 15 points. Fifth, Mansfield Town, 14 points. Sixth, Crawley Town, 14 points. Who were close to being relegated out of the league and into non-league last year. Managed to win on the last game of the season to keep them up. Crewe Alexander, seventh with 13 points. At the bottom, at 19th place, we've got Salford on 7 points. 20th, Harrogate Town with 7 points. 21st, Forest Green Rovers with 7 points. 22nd, Doncaster Rovers with 5 points. 23rd, Tranmere Rovers with 3 points. And 24th, Sutton United with 3 points. Something's happened with Sutton United, because last season, they were at the top 6 or 7. And they were winning games left, right and centre. This year...
Did they sell any important players?
I don't know. It's not a team that I follow, but they've just had a horrific run. I mean, if you're going to put anyone in your acca this week, you want to put them.
Got two top promoted teams, Wrexham and Notts County, out the top, which is interesting. They both came up, didn't they?
Yep, Wrexham came up as winners and Notts County came up second. Obviously, Wrexham heavily subsidised by Ryan Reynolds and Rock. Am I keeping you up?
Sorry.
I'll do that bit again then, shall I? Yes. Wrexham coming up, heavily subsidised by Hollywood, and Notts County just doing what they did. Yeah, Grimsby played Wrexham at the weekend. Not much to report. We was 2 players out. Abo Issa and Danny North played all right for the first 15 minutes. Grimsby's ex-strikers, Ollie Palmer, went and scored, and then there was a couple more goals. We lost 3-0. It was a non-performance. Go on then, Ollie. What was your assessment of the eight-a-side on Wednesday?
Wednesday was actually a very good game.
Good game.
It was a good game. The score was pretty close. I think it was 3-3 in the end. I think we drew. Turner called it, didn't let anyone else play on because he always ruins it at the end. You know, when he does that, when you just want to play like last, like a bit of injury time.
He's like, can't though. If you've got to finish at 9, you've got to finish at 9.
He doesn't have to finish at 9.
No, I don't
his
think.
Time's up. That's what Turner says. You paid your money, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
Turner does.
Because they don't come and kick you out. There's no teams playing off.
Yeah, no, but we've got to, if we're playing from 8 till 9, we've got to play it till 9. I mean, it's regardless if someone else is winning
if you take a bit of break, or if someone runs after the ball or stuff like that, you need a bit of injury
this
time.
This is not Premier League.
We're
not going to add 9 or 10 minutes on top of
we'll only be adding like 2 or 3, or maybe do golden goal.
Yeah, Squid doesn't actually pay him the full £5 now. He actually cuts it down to about £4.90.
Yeah.
He doesn't get as much football. He's actually started paying Turner less.
Yeah.
Which I think everyone should do, actually.
What? Squid don't pay less. He just probably ain't got the change on him.
No, he don't. No, but transfers him £4.90.
Of course, Ollie.
I think that's a piss take more than anything else.
I hope it's not.
I'm gonna start doing that.
Yeah,
as
I'm
well.
Starting doing it.
We'll send him £4.90.
Yeah, everyone.
Do you know what? I'm not in the WhatsApp group, so I don't really care.
Oh yeah, he'll just be messaging us.
You was calling everyone last week. Go back to the Wednesday.
So Wednesday was very good match. I mean, I get quite frustrated because the standard on the football, and actually we don't talk about it enough. Actually, it needs to be said, which is why I'm here. Actually, because it needs to be said, the standard sometimes is terrible at the football. Have you noticed, right, when you're playing, no one ever passes the ball backwards? No one ever, like, if they can't go forwards.
Yeah, they don't.
They just don't. We don't put a foot on the ball and go back. Some do, obviously, like those are the good ones. Like the, some of the decent players are there. And then there's some that are just so bad. Wednesday night, it was a decent match. Like, it was quick pace. You know, like Squid would tell you, like when the ball's moving quick and it's back and forth, I would always say it was quite a good game. I was absolutely dripping. I mean, I'm not fit, so probably that's the reason why. But I was absolutely soaked on Wednesday night. And yeah, it was a good match.
Tripping what?
Yeah. Oh, and Turner and Paul got into a little little scrap. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, almost kicked off.
Really?
And they did not stop. And Heskey was telling them to go and get a room.
Right, okay. This isn't a new thing. This is something that's been festering inside. So what exactly, when you say fisticuffs, what happened?
I think Paul was getting frustrated because, you know, it was the second half and everyone was starting to get a bit tired. They weren't getting the ball and they weren't creating chances. And then something happened up the pitch between Paul and Turner and they were squaring up.
On opposing sides?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I was on Turner's team and Paul's on the other team and it was a close match, but something happened and then all of a sudden, you know, and like they start going hard in on each other and following each other around the pitch. Like,
really?
Making, like, when they gets the ball, I'm going to go in really hard on him. So yeah, and then afterwards it all cooled down and Paul was saying to Turner, you're going to text me apologising after the match. He was like, you're going to text me, you're going to apologise. Turner was like, no, I'm not. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed that. I love a little bit of a
passion.
Yeah. Turner does care. He wants to win.
You know what I hate about Turner? And I'm going to say it over here so everyone listens. When he's not playing and the teams are unbalanced and we have a go at him and tell him the match was shit, the other team was it was just completely unbalanced, he says, oh, you're caring too much, just have fun. But when he's playing and he's losing, that's when he's losing his shit.
If you don't get pissed off that you're losing,
don't care.
Or you don't get pissed off that no one's talking, or like Ollie said, something that it winds me up that a player would rather turn into a player with his back to him, which goes against everything I've ever been taught, than try and flick it past and use their pace. I've never ever been taught like that. I've been taught you play the way you're facing. So if you've got your back to the player, you need to come back and you need to set it up and go again. You're retaining possession for one, you're passing the ball for two, and you're working from side to side.
I scream keep the ball so much. Like, I must repeat that 30 times in a game. Keep the ball. But a lot of the time we don't do that. But what I will say is, since starting this with Turner, and also credit to Turner for actually putting this all together, because we wouldn't be sat here now if he didn't put these things on. So whilst he is a moody bastard, he does deserve a bit of credit for doing that. But in terms of the actual match, and the standard has increased, there were quite a few players I would like, not brilliant, but it's got much better, and therefore it's got more competitive, and that's why I think some of these clashes are starting to happen.
This is what I've said all along. If you haven't got that passion to want to win, you're playing the wrong game. But then Turner comes up and goes, no, lads, that's, you know, taking it all too seriously. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Everyone
like
wants
you said,
to win.
There's no such thing as a friendly. And also everyone can't wait for football to come about on a Wednesday and a Friday night.
On the Wednesday, who was the man of the match?
Yeah, Tom got it.
Tom.
Who else in all the people that you played with, Soren, do you dislike?
Oh no, I can't say that. For a second I started thinking about it, but
I'll tell you something on Friday, right? So I kicked out cool. Linden.
Linden? He's not an Arsenal supporter.
He's played in my team, Linden.
Yeah. He was on your team. Yeah, it was on your team. Yeah. I kicked him because he deserved it, because I was getting frustrated, obviously, and he was following me around. I just would not. He obviously knew that, like, I was trying to get a hold of the ball, and he was following me around, and he just started to piss me off. So I tried to get away from him, and I think he tackled me, so I kicked the back of his legs. And then he said something to me at the end. Like, he said, oh, you're a sore loser, or something like that. I just smiled, laughed, and ran it off. But what I did do is I sent him a text afterwards. Shout out to Paul Sterling. I sent him a text and apologised.
Apologised to Paul Sterling?
I didn't apologise to Paul Sterling. I never apologised to him. I apologised to Lyndon. Once I calmed down and got home, I was like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So, see, I do that and I don't apologise.
If I play badly or I feel that those around me have not been able to influence in a way that I should have done, that's what I take badly. And I don't go kicking anyone. If anything, I get kicked. And I just, that's great. Let you do it, whatever. But I just want people to play better. When it's just you pass the ball and they fucking blast it, and it's like, we've just lost possession now. And now they've got the fucking ball. Now I'm going to have to wait 10 minutes to get the fucking ball back. But they can't get it in their heads because of the level.
And they're not willing to run after they've lost the ball as well, especially if...
Yeah, why the fuck would you want to run all across a pitch to try and get the ball? Surely you just want to keep the ball, play the way you're facing, pass it into space, and just run and pass, run and pass. But because of the level they've played at...
I sometimes speak to Squid about this sometimes, like, when you feel isolated on the team, that there's no one else that you can try and build something with, that is where it gets really frustrating. And you, and I'm not the only one. I just speak out loud, but Squid will throw his hands up in the air and stuff and mumble things to me, even if we're not on the same team. Well, pass me, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah.
This is awful. And he does, it gets frustrating. And yeah, you know, some players are not up to standard and they play, but I think there comes a point where there are some 11-year-old teams that know how to release the ball at the right time, go backwards if there's nothing in front of you, come back, don't just kick it anywhere. I mean, that's what you teach 10-year-olds sometimes. Don't just boot the ball out of fear. I genuinely think there's some players in this team that are actually scared a little bit, like someone's coming towards me, I just panic and kick it. That happens quite a lot. We're all like...
See, when I started playing, you had the opposite, that you couldn't get rid of that ball. It kind of like stuck to your foot, didn't it? It was like you had to take on the whole team twice, go backwards, forwards, left, right.
Screaming, pass it.
Not letting go of the fucking ball at all. Yeah. Evo stick foot.
Yeah.
It was like glued to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, you call me Evo stick, but I think one of my strongest things is to try and create something. So if I try and skim...
But how do you create when you don't release the ball? I'm not saying now you do that, but I'm saying 3-4 months ago when I started, you was the world's worst for holding on for so long that any move would break down because you hadn't released the ball and you'd lose it invariably.
Yeah, but I would do some good things with it, but nine out of 10 times I might lose the ball, but
Oily Maguire.
At least I had the confidence to keep the ball.
Oily Maguire. That's not having confidence. We're just playing with shit people, and that can get near you because you're just not letting go of the ball.
I just want to say that obviously we are a bit harsh.
Speaking of shit, go on.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are obviously a bit harsh over here, but obviously I still love everyone in the group, and we're not talking about this.
You support three fucking teams, you fool.
Of course. So we're not trying to kick people down. We're just trying to encourage people to better themselves and to try to...
As Squid would say, try harder.
Yeah, try harder. That's what we want
out of everyone. The standard has improved. Definitely. The standard has improved, but I think... And I don't think we've called out any actual names. I think we've said good things about people, but there is some... Yeah. There is some... real shit players and nothing.
There's different levels in this, and I think you've got to take it for what it is. Yeah. That there aren't the best footballers there. There are some people who are really good footballers, you know, and then you've got some mediocre players that just really want to turn up to get a little bit of fitness, and that's great, because the ones who are better or feel like they should be in an 11 aside or should be in a vets, they should be doing that on the Saturday or the Sunday whenever a vets team plays, you know.
And like you've said before, this group has brought people together that might not get out that much.
And it's got to be a place that players can come and forget everything for an hour.
You
know what I mean? The turning up, the forgot whatever problems they've got.
And they'll just have to think about, now I'm going to get shit talked for an hour by Squids, Sorin and Ollie.
End of the day, on the pitch, I'll always want to win, but once I've calmed down...
That's the thing.
Stop sweating. Sat down in my front room and I think about it and I'm like, yeah, no, it's a good group of lads.
Yeah.
And yeah, Turner done well for putting it together.
It's done amazing. Grateful to him.
We love you, Turner.
Yes, we do. Except for the times when you pick the teams, that's when you're not really our favourite.
Anyway, let's wrap it up. You can just say your goodbyes.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Thank you to Ollie for participating as well. It's been great. This is Soren signing out. Thank you very much.
Why do I get called Oily Maguire, by the way? I wanted to clear right. up as well.
Oily, slippery,
yeah.
And then Maguire because of Maguire who plays for Man United.
Shit. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Ollie signing out. I hate everyone. And there's no.
What have I done to you?
Yeah, you're all right. And yeah, Dino's all right, but everyone else can do
all wankers. All wankers. Right. That's been me, Oily Maguire, and Sorin, the Romanian stroke.
American
stroke. Slash Real Madrid.
Albanian.
Yeah, Albanian. You want one
Sanchez.
Of the bots? You
Sanchez.
Want Sanchez.
Mexican.
Mexican.
He supports everything.
Fucking everything and everyone. Anyway, guys, join us for the join us next week for another podcast where we talk absolute shit for about fucking 2 hours and we try and condense it into a 1 hour show.
Actually, it was pretty close to 3 hours now.
It's 2.5 hours, 7 till 8:30. Cool. That's it.
This episode has just ended. But we know you'll be back to listen to more conversations. So make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episode. Thank you for listening.
Shout out to Turner and his business.
It's not Turner's business.
But fuck Turner for his football team and the charity match. That was awful. Me, of course.
Where did you go to? Foundry.
Yeah, the Foundry.
Right, don't say it's the Foundry.
Okay, what is that?
It's the fucking Chai Inn, right?
Is the what?
The Chai Inn.
Chai Inn.
Yeah, if anyone asks.
Okay.
Right, well. We say that on the podcast, we say it's Chai Inn.
Yeah.
We all know it's the fucking Foundry.
Right.
No one needs to know that.
What's happened? Did they try to sue you or something?
Oh, no, we're calling it the Five and Drive. We can't. Sorry, have you got your translator with you?
No.
It's going to be fucking difficult.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
After.
Four? Newcastle.
1-1, you fucking idiot.
1-0.
No, 1-1.
It's not actually, it's 0-0.
Is it 0?
You're not Albanian, you so you wouldn't know.
I'm not Albanian.
Yeah, so it's, you wouldn't
That's
understand.
Not even an Albanian saying. You don't say,
how would you
do you want the dinghy? Do you want the dinghy? I'll give you the dinghy, but I play it by the hand. What's he trying to say? He's not trying
play
to
it by ear.
Play it by ear.
No,
fucking
play it by hand. That's how we say it in Romania. We say play it by hand.
Maybe if you was getting a prostitute for an English person, you'd say that.
Right.
Played by the hand.
Leave the prostitute alone, all right? They're good women.
Everyone's got to get a living somehow, for
yeah,
fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with, you could do your own intros. Welcome to Morning Kickoff. My name's Ollie. Welcome to Morning Kickoff. My name's Soren. That's all you need to do. And I'll just put that at the beginning.
Hello everyone, my name is Soren. Welcome to Morning Kickoff. As you probably know, I am the guy with the moonshine. So of course I brought a bit of that just to loosen everyone up, make it a bit funnier.
Soren. I said, all you gotta do, Morning Kickoff, my name's Soren. That's it. Hang on, not a chapter and verse about your fucking life and who you are. All you gotta do, welcome to Morning Kickoff. My name's Soren.
Go again. Play it.
Squeeze it all into 45 minutes.
I feel like if you were to do it all in one shot, it would probably be a lot funnier. The girl that was serving us last Friday, she had a perfect ass. I swear to God, I could just have that top of my face for the rest of my life.
Sorry, fucking hell.
Licking it a bit. And I'm talking about her. You know, I like to say, Dino, I lick ass, I eat cunt.
Stop.
Yeah, we went to Bath, the town.
Bath. Oh, not in a bath.
No, we've done it in a bath as well, trust me.
No, I know you've done it in a fucking bath. Don't start.
It's a bit hard because you're struggling to breathe. But yeah, going back to it, it feels...
Hang on a minute. What do you mean you're struggling to breathe in a bath?
When you're underwater and you're doing stuff...
Underwater?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing under the water? That's dangerous for one.
Well, thing is, you can't... Well, let me ask you this. If there's
no,
a...
No.
if my lovely Ruxandra is in the bath with me and she's submerged, I'm not going to ask her to lift her ass up out of the water for me to eat cunt and lick ass. I would just go like a gentleman would. I would just go under the water, try my best to hold my breath.
You need a fucking snorkel.
Nah, you get used to it.
What about it? You'd have like soapy water and oh shit. No. Why would you do that in a bath? Why can't you just do it on a bed?
Because you feel like it in the bath at the moment. By the time you get washed,
not going
and dried,
underwater, you don't.
Yeah, no, I do.
You don't get a bath full of water with soap and bubbles and everything else, and then go, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to dive under the water and eat.
Well, that's how it is sometimes. That's if it gets to that and I get really horny, I just want to reciprocate. That's the one. Thank you very much, sir.
What? Right. So if you're reciprocating, that means
yeah. She's diving under the water as well.
So you both need snorkels to have sex in a bath?
No, because we get used to it. We're so proficient at it.
You're proficient.
Yeah. So right, we've learned how to
The only thing I'm proficient at is riding a cycle. I got that when I was about 11 years old.